You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, please visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
I want to start with a question today as we progress in our series. How important to you is the footwear that you put on? How important? Some people have shoe collections. I'm telling you, some people have shoe collections, closets full of shoes. How important to you is the footwear that you put on? Can I share with you how I failed miserably as a father? Can I just share with you? Let me just be real with you, just in case there's some fathers out there and you're wondering, does anyone else fail? I coach my son's basketball team, and I enjoy it. I love it. And one day I was taking him to basketball, and it was snowing. So what does a good father do when it snows? They put the boots on for the son, right? So the only problem is when we got to the gym, I forgot his basketball shoes. So we got there and I was getting him all dressed. He had his jersey on and his shorts. He looked all cool. He had his cool socks on, but he had no shoes. And so the poor kid walks into the gym with boots up to his knees and he looks all sad and confused. I'm just like, oh, sorry, son. I'm sorry I did this to you. Footwear matters, doesn't it? Footwear is important. It is important. Because if you try to go jogging in leather dress shoes, you're going to experience the consequences of that. It's going to be painful. You try to go skiing with running shoes on. How's that going to work for you? Like snow is going to get in, your feet are going to get cold. It's not going to work. You try to play basketball in a pair of boots. My son can tell you all about that. Doesn't go very well. You try to go hiking, ladies. Picture this. Hiking in high heels. Come on. Come on, you can't do that. You can't even conceive of doing that. Why am I saying all this? We need to get a visual picture in our mind. We need to get a good understanding of what we're going to be talking about today. Footwear matters. The type of shoes that we put on matter. There are specific types of shoes for specific types of occasions, and what we put on matters. We're in a series right now that I told you called Spiritual Warfare, and we're unpacking what the Bible calls the armor of God. We're in a very real spiritual battle. I'm going to tell you why we started talking about shoes in a second, but we're in a very spiritual battle right now that exists between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. That's real. That's true. And each one of us that have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ got thrust into the battle. Now we are engaged in this spiritual conflict that exists in the heavenly places. And the Bible tells us that there is a specific armor that we are to put on. We've seen that we are to put on the belt of truth as preparation. The belt of truth, holding firmly onto the truth of God's word and making it so the truth of God's word has a firm hold on me. That's our submission to God's word. That's our obedience to God's word. That's our surrender to God's word. Then last week we saw the massive importance of putting on the breastplate of righteousness. We saw that the breastplate of righteousness is the heart protector, protecting the heart from fatal wounds that can knock us out and knock us down in the battle. And today we're going to unpack what the Bible calls the shoes of readiness, the shoes of readiness of the gospel of peace. We're going to see that the shoes of the gospel of peace not only protect us, but they propel us forward into what God has for us. Because listen, you have to understand, in the spiritual battle, we are not to be passive agents. We are not to be sitting back fearful. We're not just here defending ourselves all the time. We can be proactive, and the Bible shows us with the shoes how we are to be proactive and also defensive. So the title of the message is The Shoes of the Gospel of Peace. I want us to leave here today having put on the shoes of readiness of the gospel of peace, the shoes of readiness. So turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to unpack verse 14. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, and this is what it says. I'm going to start reading from verse 10. This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." We see there our union with Christ is the foundation of any victory that we have in our spiritual lives. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." So there's a real devil. He's not a cartoon character. He's not fictional. He's not from a comic book. There's a real devil out there, and the Bible tells us he's scheming against us. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, because of all of this, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And here's verse 15. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. All right. A few things from this passage that I'm going to share with you. And this is where we're going to start. In the very real spiritual battle. Have you realized that it's real yet? Have you realized that it's real yet? In the very real spiritual battle that we face, understand this. The gospel is an offensive threat to the enemy's kingdom. The gospel is an offensive threat to the enemy's kingdom. Again, we're not backpedaling. We're not kind of trying to defend ourselves from his onslaught. In fact, the Bible presents us as taking ground with the gospel, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is an offensive threat to the enemy's kingdom and all his schemes and plans that he's putting forward in our lives. Notice the text again in verse 14. He says, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. All right, we have to remember the tone of this passage. We can't forget about this. I want to remind you, the tone is military. The tone is urgent. This is not an option. Paul's not saying put on some of the armor and leave the other parts of the armor. The Apostle Paul is communicating that we are in an intense spiritual battle. We don't always see it in the physical, but it's raging in the spiritual realm. The Bible tells us that we are to stand firm in verse 14. In case you're wondering why again, in case you've forgotten from previous weeks why we need to stand firm, if you're here for the first time in the series, you're saying, what's the big deal? What's all the intensity about? Why do we need to stand firm? I want to cruise in this life. I don't like this talk of standing firm. Why? Why? Look on the screen, Ephesians 6, 11 to 13. It says this, we are to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand, here it is again, against the schemes of the devil. You think he's laying down? You think he doesn't care about you? You know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You pose a distinct threat to the kingdom of Satan. And why do we need to stand? Because he's scheming. He's scheming. He's scheming in your life. He's scheming against your marriage. He's scheming in your family. He's scheming against this church. He's scheming against your relationships. He's scheming and he's plotting and he wants to take you down. He hates you. He wants to derail you. What's all the talk about standing firm? Why? Why? Because he's scheming and he's real. It goes on, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You think you have problems with people in this life? Your biggest problem is not with people in this life. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, why do we need to stand, Paul? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Never forget, loved ones. Never forget, never lose sight of this reality. The reason we need to stand is because we are engaged in an intense spiritual battle. Some of you are saying, I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. Well, that's why we're preaching the Bible, to illuminate our hearts, to open our eyes. The reason we need to stand firm in the Christian life is because we have a very real enemy. And the way we stand firm, the way, is by putting on the whole armor of God. One piece of armor won't do. Five pieces of armor won't do. There are six pieces of armor listed here, and we have to be committed to putting on the armor. So today we're looking at the shoes of readiness given by the gospel of peace, and we're going to learn today how not to fight in the battle with bare feet. You can't fight with bare feet. We're going to understand what exactly that means and the implications of that. But in order to answer the question of why the talk of the shoes of readiness of the gospel of peace. Why the emphasis here? We need to understand a bit about the Roman soldiers' footwear, because the Apostle Paul is giving us a metaphor here with the armor. The Roman soldier wore special shoes for battle that had thick soles and leather straps. They were shoes that would protect distinctly in battle from stepping on something that would harm the bottom of their feet. The soles of their feet needed to be protected. Can you imagine fighting in a war? I mean, there's stuff firing at you from all angles. You don't need the little problems of having your feet all cut up with stuff that you're stepping on. You need your feet protected, because the feet are going to take you where you need to go. You can't progress forward against enemy lines if you don't have the right shoes on. And the Bible tells us that the gospel are the shoes. The gospel of peace, the readiness of the gospel of peace, are the shoes we are to put on. So this was important for the Roman soldier, not primarily for comfort, but to maximize the soldier's readiness and ability to move forward. Sometimes I have to, you know, remember to put out the garbage, and it's late at night and I'm in my bed and I'm thinking to myself, oh no, I forgot to put out the garbage, and I run downstairs because I'm tired, I want to get to bed. And sometimes, don't judge me, sometimes I don't even put shoes on, and I just run outside, and I say, don't judge me, please. And I run out. And then when I do that, it's like, why am I doing this right now? I can't even walk properly. It's just much easier to go to the closet and get my shoes and put them on. Any little step forward is hindered when you don't have your feet protected. So notice the verse again in verse 15. As shoes for your feet, it says, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. The word readiness is important. It's an important theme here. It refers to preparedness, a sense of making ready. And what we need to see here is this is a description of our offensive role in the spiritual battle. We are not only to play defense in the battle, we are to move on offense. We are an offensive threat to the kingdom of Satan. How? How? Because of me? Because of you? No. The gospel itself. The gospel of peace is our offensive threat against the kingdom of Satan. On the screen for you, the Apostle Paul likely has Isaiah 52, verse 7 in mind here when he says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news. In fact, on another occasion, Romans 10, 13 to 15, Paul quotes Isaiah 52, verse 7, speaking of feet in conjunction with taking the gospel message to the world. He says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And then he says this, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. In the Apostle Paul's mind here, you have to understand, the shoes of readiness given by the gospel of peace cover the beautiful feet of those who are ready to go and take the gospel, who are ready to go and take the gospel to their neighborhoods, to their schools, to the farthest parts of the world, on the mission field. The gospel is, in fact, the readiness. The shoes are the readiness of the gospel of peace that is to be taken to the far-reaching parts of the world. And the world, loved ones, is so desperate for the gospel. And so, if you've been in this series and you've been thinking primarily in terms of defense here, we, as the Church of Jesus Christ, are an offensive threat to the kingdom of Satan with the gospel of peace. But what exactly do we mean by gospel? I just want to clarify this. Maybe this will help you. We went through a whole series unpacking the gospel. What exactly do we mean by gospel? Gospel means good news. Good news. On the screen for you will be a slide giving you four words that we unpacked in a series. We devoted four messages to these four words. These four words can sum up what the gospel is: God, sin, Jesus, and response. The gospel message is the news that there is a creator God, and he is sovereign ruler over all things. And we are all accountable to him. The gospel shows us that sin entered the world, and all of a sudden, we human beings, we don't want to be accountable to our creator. He created us. He made us. We are to be accountable to him, creator. But we sinned, and sin caused us to say, we don't want you, God. We want to do our own thing. We want to live our own way. And then we see Jesus. Jesus comes as the solution. Jesus comes as the only solution to the problem of sin, because the Bible tells us that sin has contaminated the human heart. And sin has separated us from God, who is holy. We were singing about that today. And without a substitute to pay the penalty for our sin, we are damned to hell. But Jesus comes as the substitute, as the solution for our sin problem, to save people from their sin, to rescue people from their sin. And then there's a response required. It's faith and repentance. This is the news. This is the message of peace. This is the gospel of peace that Paul says you are to be ready with as shoes on your feet to go on the offensive against the kingdom of Satan. The world needs the gospel of peace. The world desperately needs the gospel of peace. By now you would have heard this week about the tragic shooting that took place in Quebec City in a mosque, killing 6 people. On the screen is a picture of a young man who lost his father that day, being consoled. A friend of mine and a fellow Harvest pastor posted the following on social media, and I found it very helpful. I wanted to read it to you in conjunction with this. He wrote this: "Once again this week, we heard the news of an act of violence and hate. The shootings in Quebec City are just the latest in a growing list of senseless killings around the world. But this one is in our own country. For the grieving families who lost loved ones in that mosque, the politics and religion of it matter little. Their loved ones are now gone. All Canadians should grieve with them. We should grieve the loss of our fellow citizens and the peace that was shattered in our country that night." A similar situation was brought to the attention of Jesus as he made his way to Jerusalem. There was a group of Galileans who had in some way crossed Pilate, the Roman governor. It didn't end well for them. A political and religious message was sent to the people with their execution. Jesus responded in his typically unorthodox manner, pointing to the greater issue, not that some people were tragically or unjustly killed, but that we're all going to die. We're all sinners. Judgment follows for everyone, and we need to get right with God before that happens. And we grieve with the families of victims in events like this, but as Christians, we look at events like this and we have to zoom out and we have to see a bigger picture. There are people that are dying, and there's a spiritual war that's being waged. There are people that are dying and they've not heard the gospel of peace. They've not heard that they have a sin problem that damns them to hell, but there is a Savior who came to rescue them. And if they would put their faith in him and turn from their sin, they could be saved and rescued. There's a bigger picture happening in our world. There are people you work with who need the gospel of peace, because if they were to die today, they would be separated from God for all eternity in a place called hell. It's real. And you got to understand, the gospel is our offensive weapon against the kingdom of Satan. See, Satan cannot stand a church that is armed with the armor, that has on their feet the shoes of readiness of the gospel of peace, who are ready to go and take the gospel to the far-reaching parts of the world. Satan hates that. And listen, Satan is defenseless against that. Satan cannot match up to the power of the gospel, which the Bible tells us in Romans 1:16 is the power of God for salvation for all who would believe. So some of us, we rely on our own techniques. We rely on our own ability to articulate. We want to build enough relationship to, you know, maybe invite people to church or whatnot, whatever the case may be. You have to believe that in the spiritual battle, what you and I need is not only the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. We have to put on the shoes of readiness given by the gospel of peace. Are you ready? Are you ready with the gospel of peace as an offensive weapon, as an offensive force against the kingdom of darkness? Are you ready today? Perhaps you're here today and you got to understand one of Satan's main strategies is to take you off mission. He wants to do that because he understands when you get this in your heart, when you are convinced of this, that I must take the gospel to people around me in my family. When you're convinced of this, Satan understands that he will be even more defeated in your life. But he wants to keep you distracted with other things. He wants you to be worried about other things. He wants you to get caught up in politics. Oh, so much of that happening these days, isn't it? Just scroll through my social media feed and everybody talking about politics. Everybody's talking about the United States president. I'm just sick of it. Just don't talk to me again about the president. There are people dying around us. And the gospel needs to go forward. People wasting time typing on their phones about how Donald Trump is this and the United States is that and this is my opinion. Forget about it. People are dying. Forget about it. The gospel of peace needs to go out. Forget about it. Stop making problems on social media because you're talking about stuff that don't matter. Forget about it. The gospel. It's the gospel of peace. We need to go ready, be prepared. This is the way that we progress towards enemy lines. Jesus says that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's what Jesus said. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The picture there you get is of the church of Jesus Christ advancing and progressing. The picture there you get is not necessarily one of Satan's armies progressing. It's one of Satan's armies getting pushed back. Because the church of Jesus Christ, armed with the gospel of Jesus Christ, are pushing back the gates of hell. They cannot prevail against the church and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But where Satan has a field day is where Christians are sleeping. Christians have walked out of the house like I do when I take out the garbage with no shoes sometimes. They don't have the shoes of readiness on. They're not ready. They're not prepared. Loved ones, the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is desperately needed. And you can think of people right now. You can just think of people right now that you know very closely that need the gospel of peace. Would you begin to think and pray even right now, Lord, how would you prepare me to take this gospel as an offensive threat to the kingdom of Satan, to a lost and dying world? In the spiritual battle, the gospel of peace is an offensive threat to the enemy's kingdom. That's all we got, is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the word of God. And it's all we need. Amen? It's all we need. Secondly, write this down. In the spiritual battle, the gospel of peace is not only an offensive threat to the enemy's kingdom. Write this down. It's a defensive strategy when I'm under attack. It's not only an offensive threat to the enemy's kingdom, it's a defensive strategy when I'm under attack. Notice the verse again. Start from verse 14. He says, stand therefore. Do you see it in your Bible? Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. I want you to understand something. Not only is the gospel of peace to be advanced offensively in the world, not just that. But Paul has something else in mind here. The gospel of Jesus Christ is also a defensive strategy. Listen, when the enemy is trying to disrupt my peace. Here's what you have to understand. The gospel of Jesus Christ goes out, and when it's received, it takes people who are at once enemies of God, and it brings them into a relationship with God that is a relationship of peace. No longer are we enemies, now we are friends because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it does. The gospel takes enemies, people who are hostile towards God, and it bridges the gap with the person of Jesus Christ. It says, no longer are you my enemies because of the blood of Jesus covers you. Now we are at peace. We've made terms of peace, God's terms. Jesus Christ brings us into a relationship of peace. But here's what you have to know now. When we are at peace with God, because of our relationship of being at peace with God, we can experience then the peace of God in our lives. We first need to be reconciled to God to have peace with God. And once we have peace with God, we can begin to experience the peace of God. A life of peace. A life that is not weighed down and burdened by anxiety and turmoil. We can have the peace of God. On the screen for you, Philippians 4, 6 to 8 says this. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, I found that interesting, will guard, will protect your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So this is an important theological reality we need to see clearly. We need to understand that it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that moves us from a position of enmity to a position of peace. And then from our position of peace with God, we can experience the peace of God. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. You want to know the problem with this preacher? You want to know my problem? There's just far too many days in my life that I don't experience the peace of God. I'm anxious. I'm burdened. I'm worried. There's far too many nights that go by. I can't sleep. I lay awake. I toss and turn. I'm concerned about things. I wrestle and I toil. Are you like that sometimes? You experience that kind of anxiety sometimes? Maybe you're in this room today and you're like, I don't even know what the peace of God feels like because I'm always wrestling with anxiety. You have to understand, loved ones, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace, not only brings us into a reconciled relationship with God, but the gospel then sustains us. We're not only saved by the gospel, we are sustained by the truths of the gospel, so that God wants everyone in this room who knows Him as Lord and Savior to not only be at peace with Him, but to experience His peace from day to day. And listen, I talk with people all the time. There's no peace. There's no peace. There's anxiety. There's turmoil. There's wrestling. There's battling. There's sleepless nights. I experience it myself. How then does the gospel, give me peace of mind? How? Against the attacks of the enemy. The enemy wants you anxious, he wants you worried, he wants you burdened, he wants you trusting yourself, he doesn't want you trusting God. How does the gospel defend me and protect me? A few things here. Number one, write this down. No matter what you're facing, the gospel offers peace of mind when I remember, I write this down, that God is for me, that God is for me. This is a gospel truth you have to believe. God is for me. It's a gospel truth. God is for me. Why is He for me? Because of His grace. Why is He for me? Because He's kind and compassionate. Why is He for me? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ that took my place on the cross. God is for me. Notice on the screen, Romans 8, 31. Paul says this, if God is for us, who can be against us? This is good, loved ones. In the spiritual battle, you have to see this. Romans is probably the most elaborate description of the gospel in all the Bible, the doctrinal truths of the gospel in all the Bible. And here, in one part, the Apostle Paul begins to break it down. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Are you afraid today? Are you burdened today? Are you anxious today? Are you lacking the peace of God in your life today? Has it been a long time since you've had rest at night? Do you lay awake and toss and turn? Listen, what you have to know is I need to put on the shoes of readiness given by the gospel of peace that is not only an offensive weapon, but it's a defensive strategy. When Satan tries to disrupt my peace, I have to remember God is for me. God is for me. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? What Paul is saying here is that, just think about this for a second. The God of the universe is with you. Okay, you have to think about this. Think about the complexities of the universe. Think about the complexities of the galaxies. Think about the sun and the planets and the stars. Think about the complexities of the human body, the brain. I can't even move my arm until my brain signals to my arm to move. I don't even know how it's happening right now. I'm moving, and this is God has created this complex body. This God, who has no rival, who is unprecedented in sovereignty and power, who is not a dictator, who is loving, who sent his son Jesus Christ to die in your place and mine, this God is for you. This God is with you. And Paul is saying, giving us a rhetorical question, if God is for us, who can be against us? Answer, no one. No one can be against us. Some of us are very anxious. Some of us are very burdened in our lives. Some of us have tough time experiencing the peace of God. When your company's restructuring and you're totally fearful that you're going to lose your job, when you've made some mistakes raising your family and you're afraid that you've lost your kids, when you're approaching graduation as a student and you're afraid you're not going to make anything of your life, you're a mother with small children, you're afraid you'll never be able to serve the Lord with your gifts again in the same way. Your marriage has been particularly difficult and you're afraid it's not going to make it. You're afraid, you're fearful. Listen, one of Satan's strategies is fear. He wants to make you afraid. He wants you to take your eyes off of God and onto the circumstances. And when you put your eyes onto the circumstances, guess what happens? You get very afraid and you try to control the situation for yourself. And when you realize you can't really control the situation, you get really anxious. And some of us live that way, chronically. And Paul says, do you understand that the gospel tells us that God is for you? And if God is for you, No one can be against you. You have to trust him. You have to believe in the truths of the gospel. No matter what I'm facing today, the gospel offers peace of mind because God is for me. Secondly, no matter what I'm facing today, the gospel offers peace of mind because, listen, no one can condemn me. No one can condemn me. Romans 8:33 on the screen says this, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Who can condemn you? Who can condemn you? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Satan not only specializes in fear, but as we saw last week, Satan specializes in accusation. In accusation. If you're like me, you've experienced this. Does God really love you? How can he love you after you keep sinning this way? You really believe you can't lose your salvation? That preacher's telling you this doctrine of eternal security? You really believe that? Look how many times you failed. You really believe that God's not paying attention to you? Attacking with accusation. How does the gospel give us peace of mind when we are suffering because the accusations of the enemy are coming at us? How? How do we fight? How do we defend ourselves when the enemy's you'll never be anything. You'll never be anything. Look at all these people in this church. They don't care about you. And the accusations, if they knew who you really were, the accusations. How do we defend ourselves? It's the gospel. It's the gospel of truth. It's the gospel of peace. No one can condemn me. Why? Why? Not because of anything that I've done, certainly, but all because of what Jesus has done for me. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, he took the punishment of our sin upon himself. He bore the guilt and shame of my sin upon himself. Every single sin that Jason has ever committed, Jason ever will commit, was put upon Jesus Christ. And there he was on the cross suffering and dying for my sin that I would not have to be condemned. He was condemned in my place. He took the punishment. That's why Paul says, who is to condemn? no one can condemn me. And when Satan comes to attack you and try to condemn you and try to disillusion you and try to upset your peace and disrupt your peace, you have to rehearse the gospel of peace. No, there's nothing that I could ever do that can make my Lord Jesus stop loving me because of his precious blood shed for me on the cross. God is for me. No one can condemn me. And if fear or accusation is stealing your peace today, the solution is not more positive thinking. The solution is your heart set on the gospel of truth, the gospel of peace that sustains us in our lives. I wonder if there's anyone here suffering because they feel condemned. You feel like you've gone too far. You feel like you made too many mistakes. You feel like you'll never amount to anything. Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. He paid the penalty for your sin, that if you would put your faith in him, if you would trust him, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. No condemnation. Praise the Lord. No matter what I'm facing, the gospel offers peace of mind because God is for me. No one can condemn me. And then finally, the gospel offers peace of mind because of this. Write this down. Because nothing can conquer me. Nothing can conquer me. Notice Romans 8:35-39 on the screen. It says this now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is saying there is absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. In fact, in Christ, you are more than conquerors through Christ. So in this spiritual battle, you have to understand, Satan is not victorious over you ultimately. He's going to poke, he's going to prod, he's going to shoot arrows at you. He's going to try to take you down. He's going to try to render you ineffective in this life, but you have to appropriate the gospel of truth to your life. Satan cannot conquer me. Satan cannot defeat me because of who I am in Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done for me because of his great love for me that saved me, that delivered me from the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of his marvelous light. Some of us feel defeated in our Christian lives. Some of us feel conquered. Some of us get afraid when we hear this talk about spiritual warfare. We feel like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to get through. If you're a child of God, you will get through. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will come through, and you are more than conquerors. Not just a conqueror, you are more than conquerors. You are just huge conquerors in Christ Jesus, our Lord. On our own, we are not. In him, through him, because of our union with him, we are. So, while Satan attacks us with fear, with accusations, and our hearts begin to fill with anxiety and guilt and shame, in the spiritual battle, we must remember this one truth. You have to remember this. Because of the work of Jesus Christ and through the blood of Jesus Christ, the outcome of this battle has already been decided. It has. In the meantime, we fight. And when we get down, we take the gospel of Jesus Christ and we hold it up and we meditate on it and we remember it and we preach it to ourselves. The gospel is not just for new believers or people who don't know Christ. The gospel is for everyone to be sustained in our life. So, nothing you're facing can take you out completely today. You got to understand that. Nothing Satan throws at you can take you out completely. He wants to render you ineffective. And if you take your eyes off of Christ, if you take your eyes off of the gospel, if you try to do it on your own, if you stop trusting him and start trusting yourself, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall. But shoes, you need shoes for the battle. You need the shoes of readiness given by the gospel of peace. We take the gospel to the world and we hold the gospel close to our hearts. We preach the gospel to people that don't know it, and we preach the gospel to ourselves. Oh, how we need the gospel. If you ever are tempted to move away from the gospel, get yourself right back there fast, because we need the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, we're going to close here with some real talk today. Many of us are in the spiritual battle, but with no shoes on. Let's just be real. Many of us are fighting. The soles of your feet are getting devoured. And you're not ready. Your feet hurt so bad, you're laying down. Your feet hurt so bad, you're not ready. You're not ready because your feet hurt so bad, you're laying down in the battle. Some in this room today, you're in the battle with bare feet. And how do you know? Well, you've forgotten the power of the gospel of peace. And people around you need to hear, and you haven't been sharing. Some of you right now, you start to feel guilty. No, 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 no. We don't feel guilty. We don't feel guilty. We are corrected. We are exhorted. We are instructed by the gospel. And we stand up and we put the shoes on and we get ready. We don't fall down and wallow in guilt. All our guilt and shame nailed to the cross. No guilt. God's word comes to encourage you. You're in the battle, and you've failed to realize the power of the gospel and how needy there are. There are people around you that need it. The second group of people, maybe. You've forgotten the power of the gospel of peace for your own life. Now, let's just be real. Some in this room today, you don't sleep at night because you're so anxious. And some people in this room today, you're so full of anxiety and turmoil. You don't even know how to get through. Why? Because you're just so focused on the things that are happening all around you, the things that you cannot control. And guess what the good news of the gospel says? It says, you're right, you cannot control any of this, but there's one that is in control. God is in control. And we need to believe the truth of the gospel, to appropriate to our heart. Believe that God is for me. My sin cannot overpower me. My life circumstances cannot crush me. There is one that crushed all of that on the cross. His name is, say it with me, his name is Jesus. Jesus Christ. I want you to bow your heads right now for a second here. We're going to get ready to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And I want you to bow your heads and just begin to reflect where you are at. And ask the servers to come and take their place. We're about to enter into a time where we can really reflect on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But if you're here in this room today, you're a believer, and you say, I don't have the peace of God in my life, Paul gives us the solution. It's the gospel of peace. You need to believe today that God is for you. How do you know? He demonstrated it by going to the cross, shedding his blood for you, dying in your place. Some of you feel crushed by the circumstances of your life, and you need to understand the gospel of peace. These circumstances can't take me out completely. There is one who defeated Satan and sin and hell and the grave on the cross. I put my faith in him. I will get through. I will get through. I will get through because of Jesus Christ, what he's done for me. And maybe right now it's an opportunity for you to just remember. Can you remember? You're going to participate in the Lord's Supper in a few moments. You're going to have in your hands symbols of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You have two cups, one cup on top of the other. The top cup will be the symbol of the blood of Jesus. The bottom cup is the symbol of his body. You need to remember right now. As you feel overwhelmed by your circumstances, you feel like you have no peace of mind, remember. The perfect, spotless Son of God loved you so much that he left his eternal throne in heaven. He came to us, took on the form of flesh to identify with you and me. He lived a perfect life, not one sin, not one wrong motive, not one wrong attitude. Jesus Christ, perfect. He lived his life so that he would die a death that he did not deserve to die. He died a death that you and I deserve to die, so that you and I could live. And as these elements come to you, these symbols come, as they come into your hands, you just need to begin to reflect on Jesus on the cross, his body battered and bruised and beaten, nails in his hands and feet. Why? Why? Because he loves you, so that you can have his peace. And as you think about the circumstances of your life, I love this old song that used to say, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full into his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Just put your eyes on Jesus. See him there on the cross, the agony upon his face, but the love that's being poured out for you and I. Maybe this is a moment of repentance for some. Say, Lord, I've lost touch with the gospel. Forgive me. And he will. He will. You say, will he even forgive me? I've done some bad things. He will forgive you, loved ones. He loves you. And now is a moment to reflect. This is a serious moment. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're so glad you're here, but you can let these elements pass you by. This is for believers in Christ. This is not a ritual. It's not a ceremony. This is for people to say, I know him, I love him, and I remember what he's done for me right now. And yet, if you're here today and you want to know Jesus Christ, you can pray this prayer with me. Worship team will lead us in singing, and then we'll participate. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner needing a Savior. Come, wash away all of my sins. I put my faith and trust in you. I want to believe in you such that I pin my hopes on you. I turn from my sin. I want to follow you. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to count the cost to follow you. And Lord, for the rest of us, give us strength now to reflect and remember and impact our lives in a special way in this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen.